Chapter 60. Experience Week. I was excited as I prepared to leave London, because I was headed for the Findhorn Foundation in northern Scotland, where I hoped to begin the next chapter of my life. Before I left Australia, I'd read all I could find about this intentional community, and in preparation for departure I quit my lecturing job, found a loving home for my dog, extricated myself from a dysfunctional relationship and systematically sold off most of my assets. In doing so, I hoped that if I liked what I saw when I got to Findhorn, there'd be nothing to pull me back to Australia, should I decide to stay. I'd spent 6 days with friends in London, where I took the opportunity to visit a number of the landmarks I'd heard described over and over by my transplanted British parents, whilst I was growing up in Sydney. Now I was topped up with culture, it was time to head north to Findhorn. I packed early, farewelled my London hosts, and took a minibus to Euston Station to catch the train to Inverness. Before long we were off on the grand tour up the middle of the United Kingdom, stopping briefly at towns whose names were familiar. As each town was announced, Carlisle, Motherwell, Stirling, Glen Eagles, Perth, Blair Athol, Avonmore, and lastly Inverness, I was transported back to my childhood, where I'd overheard my parents mentioning these towns when reminiscing about the country they'd left in 1936. Hearing the names, I was surprised to feel a sense of belonging in a country I hardly knew. In the early evening, the train pulled into Inverness, where a group of us, all Foundation Workshop participants, found a bed for the night at the local youth hostel. Next morning, Saturday, we took the train to Forres, where the Foundation bus was waiting to take us up the road to Cluny Hill College, a 5-minute ride. We turned into a narrowish driveway, lined with mature trees, that opened out to reveal an imposing, Victorian grey stone building, that would be my home on and off for many months to come. After finalizing payment for Experience Week, I was shown to my room on the first floor, with breathtaking views across the adjoining golf course, that was flanked by woodland, and lines of blue-grey hills, out to the horizon. Lunch was served at 12:15 on the dot. We helped ourselves to a splendid buffet, serving macaroni with cheese or tofu sauce, and an array of colorful salads, including potato, carrot, beetroot, cabbage, and sprouts. As a committed vegetarian, it's hard to describe the relief I felt to at last be in an environment where I could eat everything, without having to question the ingredients. After lunch, 15 strangers from different parts of the world gathered in the beech tree room on the first floor to begin Experience Week. To explain, this 6-day workshop was a prerequisite for participation in any of the Foundation programs. This beautiful room would be our home base for the week. Once seated, we took turns to introduce ourselves, after which our focalizers, the group leaders, introduced us to the rhythms of the Foundation. A comprehensive tour of Cluny followed. My first impressions? The grandeur of the 2-story building, previously a 4-star hotel, set on 2.5 hectares. It contained 100 guest beds, and 45 single rooms for members. The scale of the public spaces. The dining room seated up to 150 people. The lounge room, off the entrance hall, seated 20, and the beech tree room could accommodate 50. The ambience and simplicity of the beautiful, light-filled meditation sanctuary, with 3 rows of chairs encircling a small, low central table, with flowers and a candle. A gracious wood-paneled ballroom, with a step-up corner stage. The huge kitchen, with upscaled appliances, including multi-burner stoves, catering-sized food preparation equipment, a bakery, a hugely efficient washing-up machine, and deep stainless steel sinks for pot wash. The basement laundry contained 2 commercial front-loading washing machines, a centrifugal water extractor named Dervish, for obvious reasons, 2 large commercial dryers and a wall of wooden drying racks. The extensive grounds included lush green lawns, colorful herbaceous borders and vegetable gardens, bursting with summer produce. 2 tennis courts, flanked by a single-story pavilion. A gravel-surfaced parking area for 50 cars. After lunch next day, Sunday, we were bussed over to the Findhorn Bay Caravan Park, the birthplace of the foundation, 5 miles from Cluny. So, how did this intentional community begin? In 1962, a sequence of unanticipated events led three like-minded, but jobless souls and three children, to park their caravan at the Caravan Park, situated on the bleak and windy outskirts of the Findhorn village, surrounded by depleted soil, sand, and gorse. Their long-term plan was to create an intentional human settlement with the emphasis on environmental, social, and economic sustainability. They began by planting a vegetable garden in this inhospitable place. The vegetables thrived, providing a tangible example of humans working cooperatively with nature. It wasn't long before word got out, after which a trickle of people began arriving, eager to be part of this unique experiment. The trickle became a flood. When I arrived, 22 years later, the foundation comprised 250 members. My first impressions of the park. I was struck by the middle-classness of the 9-hectare area, with garden beds bursting with colorful flowering summer plants, the colors, particularly the reds, popping against the mostly gray sky. The Founders' Caravan. The tour began with a pilgrimage to the original green caravan that, for 7 years, sheltered the community founders, Dorothy McLean, Eileen and Peter Caddy plus the Caddy's three children. The craft studios. We visited both the pottery and the weaving studios, located close to the bungalows that had been built some years before, by foundation members with Eileen's guidance from meditation and Peter's direction. The Universal Hall. A magnificent five-sided structure with a central auditorium, seating up to 400 people. We were told that the hall was used for community meetings and gatherings, conferences, music recitals, movies, drama, and dance. The community center was the heart of the Parkside community. It contained a fully equipped catering kitchen with lots of stainless steel, a dining room, and an anteroom with south-facing doors that opened out onto a paved area with tables and benches. A perfect spot for members, guests, and visitors to enjoy the occasional sunny day. When our tour of the park concluded, we took a short walk to Clern House. This was yet another foundation property, with extensive grounds, horticultural tunnels for food production, and accommodation for 7 members. We then returned to the park to visit the Phoenix Shop, the foundation's retail outlet, stocking a wonderful selection of esoteric books, good quality hippie-style clothing and groceries. From there, we took the bus back to Cluny in time for dinner. We were served yet another delicious vegetarian feast, followed by the all-important Experience Week gathering in the Beech Tree Room, to choose work departments for the coming week. We were all well aware that the foundation was a working community, not a therapeutic one. For me, choosing work departments was a real eye-opener, and the process is worth describing. Once we assembled, the foundation's needs for the week ahead were listed, followed by a short meditation focused on those needs. After the meditation, we nominated the work department we felt drawn to. I chose Cluny House Care, and, with a minimum of fuss, all the other spots were filled with willing workers. This method was a far cry from the "you'll do what I tell you to do" model I'd occasionally experienced in my former life, and often resented. Work shifts at Cluny were structured as follows. At 8:45 each morning, Monday to Friday, work department groups gathered. Members and guests began with introductions, then joined hands for an attunement, that is, a short meditation with eyes closed, followed by a brief personal sharing, after which the jobs were listed. We each chose the job that suited us best that morning, and worked until just before noon, with a tea break somewhere in between. We then regrouped for a quick sharing, before concluding the shift by joining hands to tune out. This modus operandi was used in all work departments across the foundation. The afternoon shift began at 1:45 and finished at 5, allowing the workers plenty of time to freshen up for dinner at 6:15. As Experience Week participants, we only worked the morning shift because our afternoons were taken up with other activities. After dinner on Monday, we gathered to listen to a couple of the members share their experiences. As a collection of newbies, we hung on every word. By the end of the week, I felt I'd learned a lot more about the foundation and myself. Here are three Experience Week highlights I'd like to share. Work departments. Clooney House Care. What I most enjoyed was being able to fully focus on a cleaning task and complete it to the best of my ability. Group Discovery. A long-time member delivered this session in the Clooney Ballroom. We played a series of games designed to build trust in our freshly formed group. Visiting Randolph's Leap. A peaceful wooded area beside the Findhorn River, not far from Clooney. This was the first time I'd walked in the Scottish countryside, and it was so different to my Southern Hemisphere bush adventures to date. Our Experience Week concluded with an angel card meditation on Friday evening. I drew the angel of creativity. I wasn't at all surprised, as creativity was, and remains my major strength, and I took comfort in the knowledge that the angelic realms were cheering me on. Next morning, Saturday, was changeover day across the foundation with new guests arriving, others leaving, and some like me, staying on for another week. I offered to join the Clooney House Care team to help strip and remake dozens of beds, as it was high summer, and the foundation's busiest time. I'd already arranged to spend my second week at Clooney as a departmental guest, the second step towards realizing my secret desire to become a member of the foundation, and I was really looking forward to learning more about these people. On reflection. The Findhorn Foundation. To this day, I find it difficult to describe the strength of the impulse that prompted me to up stakes and move to the United Kingdom, the land of my forefathers, on the other side of the world. The pump was primed when I read Faces of Findhorn, a publication containing a collection of stunning black and white photographs of the foundation membership at both work and play. As an artist, the images spoke to me. It was as though I was supported by an invisible force that gave me the courage to leave behind everything I knew and understood, to head off to join these adventurous souls in Bonnie, Scotland. Foundation living. I'd lived in a community twice before. The first time at boarding school in Toowoomba. The second, at the YWCA hostel at Kirribilli in Sydney, whilst studying at the National Art School. Once I figured out how each system worked, I was able to operate within the rules, and, at the same time, have fun. As a result, I looked forward to the possibility of going around again. Decision-making at the foundation. The modus operandi of attunement for decision-making appealed to me greatly. It was so liberating to choose rather than being told what to do. Facts. Clooney Hill College was built in 1865 and purchased by the foundation in 1972 for £60,000 sterling. Experience Week. An ethnographic study in the 1990s closely examined the design of the Experience Week program, which it called the main entry point into Findhorn's ethos and lifestyle. The study noted that over 5,000 people attended courses annually, and called the foundation an example of contemporary religious individualism. The Universal Hall. The spectacularly beautiful building, begun in 1974, was finished in 1984. Designed by British architect George Ripley, the building has a hand-carved stone exterior, a magnificent stained glass entrance, and a geodesic roof, supported by five enormous wooden ring beams. The facility is the center of cultural enrichment for everyone. Angel cards were the inspiration of two early members of the foundation, who designed them as part of the game of transformation. The cards, used in conjunction with meditation, offer the user reassurance, and the opportunity to consider a particular aspect of their inner life from a fresh viewpoint.